So the question is, how can we tie our hopes to life instead of tying it to a myth, as the American Culture and Faith Institute January survey so clearly pictures? And with that, I want to go back to George Barna, who conducted that research and is helping us to walk through this very, very critical issue. George, many times as we approach this part of the program, when you're with us in particular, we're often looking at what I'd term very sobering statistics regarding the church in America, the pulpit in America. And now, today, we're looking at the attitude of the childbearing age generation who are embracing death over life here in America. The matter of life is so critical to God's blessing on a nation, as Deuteronomy chapter 30 says, that I would like to know, from your perspective and your experience, and what counsel would you give the listeners to Stand in the Gap today about how to tie our hopes to life and truth and not kid ourselves by tying our hope to a myth that says we're hopeful that the next generation is going to be more protective of life. I put a big challenge before you, George, but you can do it. This is a very important segment for us, so focus this, if you could, for us, please.
Yeah, I know, and I have 1 minute to do it, right? You know, here's the reality.
2 minutes, George.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's the big challenge. You know, the reality is you've got to make choices based on facts. And so as those of us who have influence, those of us who lead, those of us who can direct the paths of other people, including our family members and others that we associate with, we have to get the facts. We can't operate on the basis of feelings. You know, if you go to a pro-life march these days, you're going to see a lot of young people there. And it gives you a really warm feeling inside. It's like, yes, they're here. They get it. But that's not empirical data. Okay, that's anecdotal data, that's observational data. That's fine, that has a place. But if we're going to be making strategic choices about how to use limited resources and about how to position a movement of people to make a difference, make a major change in the thinking and the behavior of the nation, we've got to look for the truth, the reality of a situation. And so there, you know, I mean, that's frankly one of the reasons why I've devoted my life to doing this kind of research, is because I know there's a lot of garbage research out there, but my commitment is to God to try to create the most truthful possible reporting of what we can measure about what's happening in our culture. So getting the facts is one thing, and getting God's truth is the other. Understanding from His Word, what does He expect of us? It doesn't matter what our government leaders tell us they expect of us. The only leader that matters is God Himself. And so being able to go back to His Word to us, His love note to us about, I gave you life and here's what I expect you to do with it. Here's why I cherish your life and therefore you should as well. Understanding, you know, that whole Deuteronomy chapter, Deuteronomy 30 chapter, talks about obedience to God. And that part of that is our commitment to choosing life. Part of Jesus' ministry was helping people understand that God gave you life for a purpose, and that purpose is to know, love, and serve God. You can't do that if you're killing babies in the womb. You can't do that if your own life has been snuffed out. So, I mean, we've got to put all this together into the bigger worldview picture so that people are capable of making good choices right now, with only 10% of Americans possessing a biblical worldview, only 4% of millennials possessing a biblical worldview, we are at a major deficit. We don't have the raw goods. We don't have the perspective that enables us to make the right choices. And so first and foremost, we've got to change what we're doing in our schools, in our homes, in our churches, in our government, in terms of facilitating moral perspectives, biblical perspectives, rather than simply going on the basis of emotion, comfort, and convenience.